Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Fight Night Daily Podcast from TalkSport. I'm Adam Catchall, the one and only Omen himself, Spencer Oliver, alongside me. You can hear the noise here at Box Park, Wembley, as the boys are about to hit the scale for the big fight that we're going to be bringing you live on TalkSport Saturday night from 9 o'clock on the main channel. Make sure you come and join us for Aziz versus Bouazizi. Big Mo is in full flow right now, isn't he?
He certainly is.
Can't hear ourselves think here, but the lads are about to hit the scales.
Yeah, listen, interesting now that Dan Aziz, actually, he's half an hour late, so he apparently missed his car, and that's why he's half an hour late. Now, I'm looking into this, I'm going, hold on a minute, Joshua Bouazizi, yeah, he's the bigger of the two. Like, visually, you look at him, he's the bigger of the two, you go, but a fighter does not miss his car to go to a weigh-in. And I'll tell you why they don't do that, because every fighter, doesn't matter what weight division you're in,
yeah,
every fighter struggles to make the weight. You'll be away now a half hour early as opposed to a half hour late because you want to you want to get something down here. You want to get some fluids back inside you.
So well, talk me through this. He's about to hit the scale then, because obviously what you're saying for people that are not familiar with weigh-ins is that he's had to take weight off this morning.
Well, I'll read into it as you will. Okay. I can only go by what they're saying that he missed his car. But he looks, he looks great on the scales.
4 pounds, 5 ounces for Super Dan Aziz.
Under.
Comfortably inside the weight as well. So that's what I said to you. Read into it as you will. But, you know, he doesn't look dry. He looks great on the scales, which is a good thing. This is an old school throwback fight we got coming up here. I can't wait for this fight, by the way.
Let's have a look at Joshua Bouazizi, because I don't know how you've taken to him this week. I'm looking from afar. I've not been face-to-face with him. Hopefully we'll get to chat to him in a minute or two. He does look a tiny little bit drawn. It's going to be interesting to see what he looks like on these scales right now. Because he is a big lad. Let's be dead straight. He's a big old boy. Is Josh Bouazizi for this weight?
Absolutely.
Oh, I like that. Ghanaian introduction there from Big Mo. Look at that. We're getting a bit of culture on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Here he comes. Now, remember, Joshua Bouazizi is the challenger coming into this fight because Dan Aziz has done it. British champion, Commonwealth champion, European champion. I know that, obviously, it's British and Commonwealth that are on the line here at the weekend. Bouazizi has been British champion previously, but he reneged that, obviously, to go down the alphabet belt, international circuit and all that type of carry-on. But this is more than that. It's not about belts. This is about the bragging rights of South London.
Absolutely, and people have got to understand what that is. This is all about legacies. Bouazizi now on those scales. Looks good as well.
Yeah, he does. He does look good.
Yeah,
looks how he's making 12 stone, I don't know, man, because he's a big boy.
He certainly is. He certainly is. Listen, what we've got now, both guys made that weight, and what we've got now is something very, very special. Interesting, actually, that Bouazizi, Dan Aziz, actually come in
£2 underweight.
Under
Bouazizi.
Yeah, absolutely, which is very interesting, but yeah, what we've got here is something very special coming up on Saturday night. If you look at the form book and you go, you know, look at these two guys, where they were sat, you know, like, where they began, like, Bouazizi was the golden boy, wasn't he? He was the boy that went to the Olympics, won the bronze medal. He was the one that, when he turned professional, you know, high, big things were expected for him, whereas Dan Aziz is going and knock on every promoter's door. Excuse me, mate, can I have a contract? No promoter wanted him. He had to do it the small hallway, you know, going in the box, small hall shows, Southern area, English, British, Commonwealth, European. Done it, you know, he's learnt the hard way, learnt on the job, really, if you like. Now we find ourselves in this position. Fascinating fight, Adam, for so many reasons. this could be a fight that's won and lost, depending on how the who handles the pressure better going into this fight. Because like you said there, with not just what's on the line with, you know, the mandatory position of the WBA on the line. So that's with the opportunity to fight Dmitry Bivol, Artur Beterbiev. They're fighting June the 1st. The possibility of fighting the winner of that. Not just with that, but like you say, South London bragging rights on the line as well. It's a big thing.
Yeah. The way that I look at this fight, from a Dan Aziz point of view, we consistently keep setting ceilings for Dan Aziz. So he gets into him. I mean, he's gone the traditional route, as you've rightly said. Small hole, southern area title, into British title. He fights for a British title, and I'm like, I don't know, man. He wins it. Gets into a Commonwealth title fight. I don't know, man. Comes through it, and he comes through it in flying colours. Has to go away from home to become the European champion. So you're thinking to yourself, a trip to Paris to become European champion.
I was there.
I don't know, mate. I don't know if you've got. I don't know if you've got the abilities to be able to do it. Every single time he smashes through this ceiling that we keep putting on him. So again, we're at this point. I don't know, man, for this particular fight. But one thing that we can say, Dan Aziz, as a pro, has achieved more so far through 20 fights than Joshua Buatsi has done through 17 fights. Now, Joshua Buatsi, of course, became British champion, reneged that, and then he's gone down this international path. Right at the start of Joshua Buatsi's career, as he's turned over from the Olympics, comes out with a medal, right? And he's fighting regularly. And it's good. And the momentum's there. Then all of a sudden, it just stalls. And it stalls. I don't know whether it stalls, because he gets the opportunity to fight Dmitry Bivol, and he says, no, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big thing. That's a big moment there. You're getting an opportunity to fight for a world title. If we kind of flip it a little bit and make that comparison to Anthony Yard, Anthony Yard does not have the amateur pedigree of a Joshua Buatsi.
Yeah.
But he gets the opportunity against a Kovalev, away from home in Russia. Everybody with a brain that watches boxing is probably going, what are you doing, mate?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a little bit of a crazy thing. But sack it. I'm rolling the dice. Let's have a go. He comes up short. But look at the stock of Anthony Yard now, risen. He's had another go against Beterbiev. Yes, he's fallen short again. I get it. But he's risen. And if you were to ask the majority of boxing fans right now who the premier light heavyweight is in Great Britain, despite never winning a British title or even fighting for a British title, the majority would say Anthony Yard.
Absolutely.
Because he rolled the dice. Now, obviously, we're now back at this stage. This fight at the weekend for Joshua Buatsi is absolutely gigantic. Again, bragging rights South London, as you've just pointed out. But if he falls short in this one, he will solidify the action of not going for a Bivol.
Yeah.
Because in walking away from it saying I wasn't ready, okay, people might understand that at the time. But now you solidify it by saying you're absolutely not ready. If you can't get through a Dan Aziz, with all due respect to Dan Aziz, world level is not your level, mate.
Absolutely, and I think that he's put himself in this position now, Joshua Buatsi, and that's where the pressure is all on him.
Yeah.
It's because he's put himself in a position, like you say, turning down Dmitry Bivol, but also, if he loses here now, that's a tough road back for him. You know, it's a real tough road back
for
him. Whereas Dan Aziz has always been the underdog. He's the underdog going into this one. Actually, a 4-1 underdog, which is, by the way, insane, because I don't see him as a 4-1 underdog.
Not in a two-horse race. Yeah, it's not when you're British and Commonwealth and former European champion.
Absolutely, but you look at it and you just go, like, where their position, like, that's where the pressure all lies on Joshua Buatsi, because Buatsi's the guy you go, he's expected to win, and he's in a must-win situation.
Yeah.
Whereas Aziz, you know, he can go, well, listen, I've done it the hard way, I've done it this way, I've earned my opportunity, this is my opportunity, and if I lose, I can sort of rebuild, come back again. And like you say, there's big fights out there. Callum Smith just coming off the loss to Artur Beterbiev. You know, he's there, he's looming around. You've got Anthony Yard there, you've got Lyndon Arthur there. There's huge fights in Britain for both of these guys, winner and loser.
Mate, there's a lot on the undercard here that's going to be sniffing around. Ben Whittaker, he's going to be wanting a piece of the pie at the top level, because we've been crying out for his progression, again, coming out of the Olympics. OK, he's been active. Well, he's been inactive, but now he seems to have got reactive, which is good. There's going to be a point down the line this year, 6 months, 9 months, where we're going to need to see Ben Whittaker in a proper fight against an opponent that we're all familiar with. You know what I mean?
Listen, Whittaker says, I've sparred both of these guys. I'm ready for both of these guys now. He says, that's where he says. He says, listen, I know what it's all about. Yes, he's 5 fights, 5 wins, 4 KOs. But he says, like, you know, I'll be ready. Next 12 months, I'm ready. Mm. You know, he's like, in a crazy world, this is going to sound crazy. Like,
we like
he's
crazy.
He's got his eye, like, on the loser of this fight. That's where he sees himself positioned.
Rightfully so. Because if you think about it from a loser's point of view of this particular fight, where do they go? Now, domestically, there are fights to be able to be made. You've got Zach Parker still in it, who's now moved into this division. I know that he's got a big fight coming up with Tyron Zuiga. Really looking forward to that. You've got Lyndon Arthur, you've got Craig Richards, who you've just mentioned, and Ben Whittaker coming through as the young buck chomping at everybody's heels. Ben Whittaker versus the loser of this next, for me, makes an awful lot of sense, because we want to know if Ben Whittaker's the real deal, and we want to know whether the loser of this was it a blip?
Yeah, yeah.
With all due respect to the loser of this, you become a gatekeeper.
But is that fast-tracking Ben Whittaker too much? Like a kid that's only had five fights.
Olympic silver medalist, mate.
I get that. But what I'm talking about is the 12-round championship distance.
Maybe.
And that's... Look, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it is fast-tracking him too much. What I'm saying is, has he got the ability to do that? That's what we'll find out. Yeah. But he's got the confidence in his own ability, that's for sure. Because he's putting his name in that hat. It's an interesting time. That light heavyweight division right now is so sexy. Not just in Britain. You like that word, don't you?
I do that.
You like that word. Not just in Britain, but globally. I mean, it's got to be one of the most attractive weights.
Well, fingers crossed, with all the noise that's coming out of Saudi Arabia, start of June, as you mentioned, Beterbiev and Bivol are going to have a go, right? And that's going to be everything on the line. We know how politics works. Things will get fragmented and belts might become available at certain points. But for me, the winner of the weekend, of course it's going to be, well, it's an eliminator for the WBA. Yeah. They've got to be fighting for a world title next. I don't think it's necessarily going to play out like that. What I personally would love is the winner to fight Anthony Yard.
Absolutely. Listen, when you look at the landscape, right, so the guys are fighting now, so it's February the 3rd, the guys are fighting, right? So they are going to be well rested by the time June the 1st comes. They're going to be wanting to get in the ring again then.
Yeah.
So June the 1st, that's what we got for the Undisputed. So what do they do in the meantime?
By Anthony Yard.
Where do they go?
Let's go.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got Anthony Yard, you got Callum Smith there, like I say. You got Lyndon Arthur there. There's opportunity. Ben Whittaker, he'll be sniffing around. What I'm saying is there is big fights around there on these shores. So, and I'm sure that will happen before they get a chance to fight for this Undisputed, because all about timing.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
What about Adam Azim and his progression? I mean, to become European champion, to snaffle your record, mate, I apologise for that.
26 years, baby.
Yeah, but he's taking on a lad that used to be champion, not lost it in the ring as Enoch.
Yeah.
And this on paper, without any shadow of a doubt, despite what you think of records and what have you, is Adam's toughest test.
Absolutely. Enoch Paulsen, 14-0, 5 KOs. As you rightly pointed out, you know, injury took this title away from him because that he had to vacate through injury. He still feels that's rightfully his. He's come here and he's relishing the chance to box Adam Azim, who's only had 10 fights, and he sees this as a huge opportunity. I think what we're going to find out with Adam Azim is just how good he is. Can he compete at this level? Because Paulsen is proven at this level. But look, if Adam Azim is as good as what we all think he is, potential superstar status, he should come through this. I think the problem that they've got for Adam Azim is, how do they hold him back? Because if you look on the world stage and you see now that, you know, we've seen Devin Haney just move up and beat Regis Progre, and in unbelievable performance, Regis Progre's there. You've got Gervonta Davis, Ryan Garcia. The names are endless in
and,
that
and
weight
the
division.
And you've got Dalton and, Smith and, now taking on Cepeda.
Dalton Smith. Yeah, that's the route where you need to see Adam Azim go.
Yeah.
You need like Adam Azim, Dalton Smith, British Commonwealth, European titles on the line before they step up into that world stage. I mean, again, another huge opportunity for these guys, but Azim is the star of the future.
Yeah. As you can see, joining us, promoter extraordinaire, but dad extraordinaire for this weekend. Is that right, Mick?
I'm Francesco's dad.
That's right, that's right.
That's what I'm known as.
Mick Hennessy, very kindly joining us. Can I need to ask, does she get the dance moves from you, mate?
I am, considering the size of me, I am very light on my feet.
Oh,
so, yeah,
yeah,
I think she did. Yeah, definitely.
How are you enjoying watching her transition, obviously, from being an elite amateur into now the professional ranks and just looking like a kid that's bloody enjoying the time of her life?
Yeah, I'm absolutely loving it. I mean, it's well-deserved, and as Spencer knows, because Spencer was one of the very first people who spotted her talent. And at that stage, not a lot of people were getting it. I knew it, but Spencer got it straight away, and he ended up being in one of her corners at a big tournament.
Yeah, we was in Sweden, to give you an idea, guys, of where this was. I think that Francesca might have been 16, 17 years of age, was she?
She was, yeah.
16, 17 years of age. Golden Girls competition. So one of my mates, his son was boxing on there as another bout, two males boxing on this competition that has 360 girls from around the globe. And I mean, there was a lot of countries turned out. So all of a sudden, I rock up there. Well, Mick Hennessy's here, his daughter's boxing. Wow, I didn't even know Mick's daughter boxed. That's insane, brilliant. So I knew Michael boxed, his son, didn't know his daughter boxed. All right, brilliant, let's have a little look at this. All of a sudden, she boxed. I kid you not, and I'm not just saying this because Mick's here, Mick knows that this is from the heart. She blew my mind the way that she boxed. She come out there and there was this Nazim sort of movements, the confidence, the swagger that she had, but she carried that into the ring and delivered that in her performance. So all of a sudden, she's boxed one fight, and I thought, wow, brilliant. I need to be involved in this. I need to see what's going on. Started doing Francesca's Corner. She actually won best boxer of that competition, 360 girls in that competition. That's when I knew this girl was a star of the future, right? And I think that she turns professional. You know, so there's a lot of pressure on her shoulders because she's Mick Hennessy's daughter. She's boxing on Sky Sports. Your call, first debut fight. She comes out, bang. She just soaks it up. She's like, you know, she's one of those. You know what? Champions feed off pressure. Champions feed off that, you know, when their name being under spotlight, they perform it in those. And the Francesca's got that. She come out and she had the swagger in the ring walk. She got in there and she delivered a performance. You know, and I think that what we're seeing with Francesca is the same, that right development and right guidance, and Mick will do that. I think that if you do that, we've got a future star of women's boxing. Women's boxing's evolved so much. Francesca is going to be at the forefront of that.
Yeah, what Spencer said there, I mean, it was very nice that someone with Spencer's knowledge was out there, because, as I say, it took me a while to get people to understand how good she was. But Spencer is a great judge of fighters and a great boxing brain, and he really, really, like, loved it and told everyone he loved it as well, and it was nice of him to do that.
I was invested, man, straight away. Adam, you couldn't not be invested when you spotted that. It weren't just like spotting someone's daughter boxing,
yeah,
and I'm going, I'm invested because it's my mate's daughter,
yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't know that Mick's daughter even boxed, and I just saw it and I was like, it was a blow my mind performance, and it will always stick with me.
How easy is it to allow her to turn pro now, when maybe there's other paths like Olympics and all these types of other things that are available, turning pro at this stage as she is so young?
Well, I made the decision because she had a couple of brutal decisions in the amateurs, like, and I say brutal, and it was disgraceful. I don't know how people get away with it. And for me, in my honest opinion, they tried to keep her going out to the international contests, and basically, in my opinion, she could have been an incredible Olympic gold medalist. She's got everything to do it. She's got the power. She's got the talent. She's got the grit. She's got determination. She's teak tough. She could have been a brilliant gold medalist, and they've denied her of that.
I actually witnessed that.
That's why I asked the question.
I witnessed that performance, and the problem that you got in amateur boxing at the moment, and I know that word corruption is a big word and a big statement.
It's been investigated, a lot of them.
Yeah, that's right. And I say, when you saw the performance, the reason why Francesca turned over, and you saw the performance when she boxed this girl internationally, and I mean, it was not even like one of those that... You don't even have to know boxing to know that she won the contest. Like, you don't have to be a good judge of a boxing match to know that she won the contest, and it was taken away from her, and you go, Mick done the right decision there, making that decision for her to turn professional. I suppose the question I want to ask you, Mick, is from a father's point of view, because I know, because I've got kids as well, and I go, so that's your daughter, your little baby, and you've got Michael and you've got your little baby and all that. How do you feel, like, when she's doing that ring walk, like, the nerves, the butterflies,
because like you smiling his head
no
off.
I know, mate, but the inside, mate, you've got to be like even though you know she's that good, there's that nervous thing. And like, as a father, because you promoted some of the biggest, best fighters in the world, Tyson Fury, you know, is including that as well, you know, you developed Fury to get him where he is today. And I go, how is it as a father, as opposed to acting and looking like it as a manager or a promoter? What's the difference, like, you know, for you yourself?
The difference is that with a lot of the fighters I've always looked after, I don't get to spend 24/7 with them in camp and training and stuff. I see a lot more of Francesca, and I know how good she is. I know when she's 100% fit, and I know when she's not. So that's quite reassuring. But the one thing about her is I've got complete confidence in her, because I know when the going gets tough, she gets tougher, and she really, that's when she's at her best. When you get her doing 8-10 rounds, even 12 rounds as a pro, people will be astonished how good she is. I've seen her in with world champions, European champions, and we really know how good she is. And one thing about her, a funny little story with Fran, was when she was younger, when she first started, and she was really overweight, she hated running. She would never run, she would never do strength and conditioning, never do anything. But all she loved was, she'd have her old boiled gum shield, which she'd done herself, and she'd turn up on the apron, she'd land on the apron, and she'd want to spar boys all night. And when they said that's enough, she'd give me a dirty look as if to say, get me back in there.
Mate,
brilliant.
You got me excited.
Brilliant.
You got me excited.
Can't wait
Listen,
for that.
Mick, we'll let you crack on.
Journey,
we're going to get you again tomorrow after the performance, if that's all right, my friend.
Brilliant.
Take care.
Well
and
done,
you,
Mick. Well done, mate. Thank and best luck, Francesca.
Looking forward to you, mate. Looking forward to Fran doing her thing tomorrow night. And one man that we're looking forward to being back in action, kindly joining us now. Don't be tripping over any wires, mate. Don't be getting yourself in any trouble.
Not now.
Joshua Watsey, obviously, in the main event tomorrow night. Listen, man, weighing days, they're never the funnest. We've been speaking about this as a former fighter yourself, mate. But all good. You look well. Everything all good regarding the weight.
All good. Can't complain, man. Waited a bit, but it's all good, man. Just want to get some food down and get ready to fight.
Yeah, you come comfortably inside the weight. And you look great up there as well, Josh. You know, like when a fighter, like you see them 24 hours before and they look good. And you see them on the day of the weigh-in, eyes sunken, the skin looks dry. You look really good, mate. And you look like you've done the weight really well.
Yeah, it was comfortable. Of course, we all work hard to make the weight, but we made it comfortably.
Now, we all know the beard's going to come off, man. You know what I mean? The girlfriends have got to get ready, haven't they? You know what I mean? Because you've got to, because we have a routine now from this point to the fight.
That's it. I'm glad you're all familiar with it. The hair's going to go. The beard's going to go. Another side's going to come out. So I'm looking forward to it.
Obviously, people in the media throughout the course of the week talk about pressure. They talk about the magnitude of the fight. And they talk about what this means going forward. Have you felt the pressure coming into this one?
I've always felt pressure in these fights. Not these fights, in the 17 fights that I've had. But I always say that if you're in it and keeping up with everything and what everyone's saying, you're going to feel it more. For me, there's almost pressure because I want to win. I want to turn around to everyone and say, we had that fight and I won. That's the pressure on me. Of course, there's the pressure from you guys, the fans and everyone, but life has pressure in it, man.
What challenges does he bring you tomorrow night?
A hungry man that knows that there's a lot at stake.
Listen, man, I'm looking forward to the slick-shaven, fresh haircut and the party tomorrow
listen,
night.
Listen, yeah? I'm looking forward to the performance.
Haircut, so I'm looking forward to it, for sure.
Josh, go well, mate. Have a wonderful
Josh,
day, mate.
Josh, best of luck, care, my buddy. Man. Great. Well done.
Josh Bowatsi very kindly giving us up a little bit of time to come and join us to talk pre-fight. Do you know something? Like I said a little earlier on in the programme, I saw him earlier on in the week, and maybe it was camera, maybe it was lighting or something like that, and he did look a little bit drawn. Standing right next to him, he actually looks like he's done the weight pretty well there, to be fair.
He does, and he's a big light heavyweight as well. You know, you look at the size difference between him and Dan Aziz. Dan Aziz, he's a fair size himself, but Weiss is very, very big at the weight. But yeah, that's the first thing that I noticed. Eyes not sunken, skin looks good, and also he's comfortable in, like, listen, trust me, if he was tight at the weight, he wouldn't have been coming here standing with us now. So, you know, he's comfortable in his surroundings and whatnot. All good signs for Joshua Boise.
Obviously, we're just speaking about Fran Hennessy there, and I wanted to just catch Mick just before he left. Progression's going to be really key, isn't it? Because the talent pool for the girls compared to the lads at this stage of career isn't necessarily as deep. I'm enjoying just watching a kid being a fighter and putting on shows, but there's going to be a question a year in, 2 years in, and she's still only a baby at that point, where they're going to go, right, mate, we need to get you in with someone.
She needs to be allowed to get her woman strength, you know, because like you say, you look at her and you look at her and you go, wow, you know, she's still a baby, really. Got all the skills, you know, and all that, the boxing IQ, ring craft, all of that stuff. And even more so, she's got the ambition, she's got the drive, she wants it. But you're right in what you say, Adam. There is not a pool of women's fighters like there is in males boxing. So the progression is quicker. And it's all about keeping Francesca back and letting her learn and develop, you know, as a professional. And I think that is key to her success.
I'm looking forward to seeing her do her thing tomorrow night. And you'll be able to catch it on TalkSport. We have got a double broadcast. TalkSport 2 from 7 o'clock. Make sure you come and join us for that, because that'll have the majority of the undercard on there. We just mentioned Fran Hennessy. She's going to be on there. Caroline Dubois will be taking part on that as well, as will Ben Whittaker. Really looking forward to seeing him back doing his thing. Then we've got Adam Azeem in the European title fight against Enoch Paulson. That might, given timing allowances, might be over on TalkSport from 9 o'clock. So make sure you come and join us for that as we switch over to TalkSport at 9. The main event will definitely be on TalkSport as Dan Aziz defends his titles against Joshua Boise. And as Joshua Boise has just kind of alluded to there, he knows the pressure's on. He knows that this is a coming of it. This is the moment that Joshua Boise has got to announce himself as the main light heavyweight in Great Britain, punch his ticket towards those world title fights that hopefully might materialise at the back end of the year. Listen, man, I'm looking forward to it. Are you buzzing for it?
I am buzzing for it. I'm buzzing for the whole card. You know what? This is a great card. Not just the main event, old school throwback fight, but you look down the card and you see, like, we've got potential superstars, you know, potential superstars coming out of this card. And I'll tell you another thing as well. We won't get Caroline Dubois, Ben Whittaker and Adam Azeem ever boxing on the same card again, because I think they'll all develop. Yeah. And that's a fair point. I think they'll all be headlining at some point.
And if me and him do your head in, Carl Froch is on the broadcast tomorrow night as well. So it's absolutely well worth tuning in. There you go. 7 o'clock, TalkSport 2. Come and join us for this epic showdown from the OVO at Wembley.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.